I heard a story once, and you hear stories whether they're accurate or not. Debbie and I have never gone on a cruise, but one of these days, we probably will decide to go on a cruise. And one of the things I hear about cruises is that you want to fast before you go because you just eat and eat, and all the food is available, and all the food is free, and they have lots of food. Am I right about that? And the story was that this guy didn't know that all the food was free. And so he had packed in his suitcase, he had packed snacks of crackers and peanut butter and various things. And during the entire cruise, he'd go down to his room and he'd snack at mealtime. Finally, the cruise was about over, and somebody said, "How come we never see you in the dining hall?" And he said, "Well, I'm embarrassed to tell you, but finances are a problem to me, and I've been going to the room and snacking." They said, "Don't you know all the food is free?" And so he had missed out on all that. Now, whether or not that's a true story, I heard it, but there are a lot of Christians that are doing that. They're going to get to heaven, but on the way, they're sick and they're broke, and they're not understanding how to walk the word and how to get the blessing of God out of that word. I don't do dishes very often, but I do dishes. And it's just every once in a while I realize that Debbie's busy and could use some help. And one of the worst things in the world is one of those pots that gets burned on the bottom. You know what I'm talking about? And you got that ring on there, and you scrub and you scrub and you scrub, and you try. And then once in a while, you just get smart and you dig under the sink and pull out one of those SOS pads. And when you get the right tool, it's amazing how you can get that spot off that pan. And not only does it get the spot off, but all of a sudden it's got a shine to it. Well, there are many Christians that have not realized that the Word of God is the power of God under the blessings of our salvation. And they've worked and they've worked and they work and they work in their Christian lives, trying to walk in victory and trying to get some kind of victory in their lives, failing to understand that the power is in the Word of God. And as a result of that, the Bible is a holy book. We know that. And it sits out perhaps on the end table or on the nightstand or some prominent place. But to understand that there's power in that book, and that this book is the key to walking in the victory, they haven't gotten there yet. And so understanding the power in the book is a key for us if we're going to be overcomers and if we're going to really walk in the victory of God. Now, let's go to Psalms 107. Psalms 107, and I'm just going to read selected verses out of this. It's a great chapter, and just wouldn't hurt us to read the whole chapter, but I'm just going to take some areas out of it. Psalms 107. And I want to talk to you today about the healing word, the word of God, and the fact that the word of God is the healing power of God. Psalms 107, verse 1. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." In other words, if you know you're born again, or even if you have question marks about that, you should be voicing that you're born again, that you are redeemed. And the enemy wants you to voice just the opposite. He wants you to talk about, "Well, I don't know if I'm okay. I don't know. I think I'm saved." No, you just begin to rejoice. "I thank you, Lord, that I'm the redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them." Now, what we've got here is a picture of the lost. We've got a picture now of people who don't know the Lord, who are not born again, who have that emptiness in their heart. You know, when I first started preaching, I started preaching when I was 16. And that was when God called me to the ministry. That's when I started preaching. And I remember an early sermon that I used to preach as an evangelist. And I would say in that sermon, it's like when God created us, he left an empty place in our heart. And there isn't anything that can satisfy or fill that empty place in our lives except Jesus. And then I would bring out the fact that people keep trying to find something to satisfy that emptiness, but there isn't anything but God. They try they'll try drugs, they'll try alcohol. Some will try perverted sex, others will try their employment or whatever, but they keep trying to fill that void. Well, the longer I've been in the ministry, I began to learn that God didn't leave any empty places in us. When God created man, God was in that empty place. And when Adam sinned, the place became empty. Are you with me on that? Because he created us, both physical and spiritual beings. And whatever he created us out of, we need that to still stay alive. You take man off of the dirt and man can't live. Not unless he takes the dirt with him. They go into outer space, they take earth with them, don't they? And we were created, and we were both created and made. God made man out of the dust of the earth, then he breathed into man his own breath, his own life, and man became a living soul. So we have the two parts of us, the physical part, the spiritual part. When Adam sinned, the spiritual part died and left an emptiness, left a void. And so man has the hunger and the thirst. You go anywhere in the world and they've got some kind of a religion. Their religion might be even atheism, but they've got some kind of a religion. They've made a rock or they've carved out an image. They've done something so that they can try to satisfy the hunger and the thirst, the emptiness that's in their heart. And that's what he's telling us. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Verse 6 says, and he delivered them out of their distresses. So the answer, the only answer is Jesus. That's the only way to satisfy the emptiness in your heart. And you can search all through your life in every area, every avenue, but until you come to God, there is no satisfaction, right? He brings the peace that passes all understanding. Now, go down to verse number 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. This sounds to me like somebody that's sick. Somebody that sin has brought sickness into our lives. Well, let me talk about that for just a minute, because there is theology that teaches that if you're sick, it's because you've done something wrong. The Jews believed that back in Jesus' day. And you remember they said to Jesus, "It was this man born blind because of his sin or because of his parents?" So they even believed that you could do something in your mother's womb that was so bad that it would cause you to be born with some kind of an infirmity. Was he blind because of his sin, born blind because of his sin or because of his parents? In other words, if you got sickness in your body, you've done something wrong. It's some kind of sin that you've done in your life. What did Jesus say? He said, neither did this man sin nor his parents. Right? And the translator should have put a period right there. They didn't. Say, well, how can you tell them where they... These guys translated the New Testament in King James in 1611 in England. And they still can't talk right over there. You know, we had to come to America and get this language straightened out because they still can't talk right. But the New Testament was all in capital letters and no punctuation. So the translators put punctuation where they thought it belonged. And in that passage of Scripture, Jesus answered the question, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. But then he goes on to say, but that the will of, you know, that God should be glorified, and he does the miracle, he does the healing in this. But he answered the question, your sickness does not directly come as a result of something you did wrong. No, it can, right? I mean, we know that if lunchtime is a bag of M&Ms every day, that it can take a toll on your body, right? And if you don't take care of your body, it can take a toll on your body. We understand that. But as far as being a direct result because you've done something that was a sin, no. But sickness entered in when man sinned in the garden, when Adam sinned. And as a result of man being sinful, sin and sickness come together into our lives. Have you got that? That's important for us to understand. But here he says, because of transgression, because of iniquities, they're afflicted. Sickness comes. Their soul, their mind, their will, their emotion abhors all manner of meat. You get so sick you don't want to eat. And they draw near unto the gates of death. They're so sick that they get near unto death. I back in those days, I remember getting so sick that you'd have to get better to die. You know, you just feel so sick. You're close unto death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So in that early part, we're talking about the mess that man has found himself in because of sin and the hunger because we need a Savior. And now in this passage, we find that sickness is also in mankind. And because of that, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And then he has this phrase that's all the way through this chapter. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. So now notice this. He sent his word and healed them. So we must understand out of that phrase given to us prophetically and given to us scripturally, it's just the statement of God's word that healing comes to us through the word of God. Now, the idea that healing really came into the New Testament time and wasn't much in the Old Testament is really not true. Healing was all the way through the word of God. Back in Exodus, God tells his people, he said, I will bless your bread and water and I'll take sickness from the midst of you. In other words, we've got healing all the way back there. He introduced himself to the children of Israel as Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. So healing has been all the way through. He says in the prophets, he said, I'll heal your wounds and take sickness away. I mean, sickness and healing, we got healing all the way through the word of God. You know, we look at the prophets and we say, well, they didn't do very much healing. Oh, how do we know that? Remember Naaman the prophet, the general of Syria. Remember that? And he had leprosy. And there was a little maid in his house that had been conquered in war. And she went to Naaman's wife and said, would to God that my master would go down to Israel, to the prophet there, for he would heal him of his leprosy. Well, how does she know? Except the fact that this prophet's been healing people. There have been people that have been healed all the way through the word of God. So how did they get the healing? Through the word. As they heard the word, as they read the word, as they believed the word, the healing came. But under the new covenant, God sent the living word, Jesus. And the Bible lets us know that Jesus is the living word of God when word became flesh. Let's go read about it in John chapter 1 and verse number 1. John chapter 1 and verse number 1. Hallelujah. Sometimes I get going so fast because I'm trying to get so much in. I need to slow down a little bit here so I can get through to you what I'm wanting to teach. Jesus is the Word. Amen. Said he sent his word and healed them. When sickness was a major problem to mankind, God's answer was to send his word and to heal them. In verse number 1, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So notice this. Jesus was the Word from the beginning. And the Word was made flesh and came and dwelt among us. So God sent His Word to heal man. Now, over the last couple of nights, I've talked about, as a matter of fact, I wanted to get into it a little bit more last night, and I just didn't have enough time to get into it. But you go into the Gospels, and you find verse after verse where it says, they brought their sick, and Jesus healed them all. And He went into their village, and He healed them all. And as many as touched the hem of His garment, they all were healed. So when the Word came, He came bringing healing to all that were sick and oppressed. Then we know that once Jesus had given His life, not only did He minister healing while He was alive, but the Word of God brought healing to all mankind. Let's go over there to that passage in Acts chapter 10, verse 38 again. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Hallelujah. That's one of my favorite healing verses in all the Bible because it identifies where sickness actually comes from and how Jesus went about and destroyed the works of the devil, and a part of the works of the devil is sickness and infirmity. I hate sickness. I just hate it. That's one of the reasons that healing and healing ministry is so important to me, because I just hate sickness. I love to watch God heal and to watch expression. I have people, see, sometimes when the gifts of healing are in operation, people that don't even believe get healed. I mean, you can see it on their face. I remember this one woman in Illinois. She came up and I said, what do you need? And she said, I just have pain everywhere, all over my body. And she explained to me how she hurt and so on. And I laid hands on her, commanded it to go, and took my hands off. And I said, now, I want you to make something hurt. Find some pain. And what would hurt you? And she told me, and I remember what it was, bending over or whatever. And I told her to do it. And when she came back up, she had this surprised look. I mean, she was just like, and she said, it's gone. And then she changed her expression real quick, and she said, but I was expecting that. I said, you were not. She wasn't fooling me. I saw that look on her face. She was shocked that it was gone. But you'll see the expression on people's face when the healing comes, and things that people that have been suffering for 29, 39 years of pain in their body, and people that the doctor said, you can never get better. This will always be this way. And God heals them. I love that because I hate sickness and pain. And so does God. God hates it too. And so He sent His Word, the Lord Jesus, the living Word of God, to come into this world and bring healing to man. Here in Acts 10:38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, that's the Word become flesh, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. I always like to pause right there, because that's what Jesus did. Wherever He went, He healed all. And how were they sick? All that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I like that. That anointing, that dunamis that came on him that we talked about on Friday night, and he went about with that anointing, that power of the Holy Spirit, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The Word became flesh. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, I think I read this on Friday night too, but let's go over there. Because what I want you to see is that God sent His Word, the Lord Jesus, that living Word of God, and that when the Word became flesh, He came to heal all who were oppressed of the devil. Amen? Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Got it? Jesus says this. He's reading out of Isaiah, and He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What is he saying? Jesus, in essence, is saying, I am the Word that is sent to heal you, right? So Jesus came as the Word of God in fulfillment of that scripture back in Psalms 107. He sent his Word and healed them. Amen. I really want to get this across, so let me back up again and slow down and try to even make this more clear. And it's not that you're not catching on, it's that I want to make sure I've made it clear. When we look in that passage back there, starting at verse 17 of Psalms 107, he's talking about the dilemma that man is in with infirmity and sickness in his body. And because of that infirmity and sickness in his body, the love and compassion of God reached out to us, and he says he sends his Word to heal us. So that God sent Jesus, the living Word, into this world to bring healing to mankind, to take care of that dilemma, the problem of infirmity and sickness in their bodies. That's what we're talking about. The living Word, Jesus, became flesh so that he could bring healing to our bodies. And wherever Jesus went, he healed the sick. Go to Matthew chapter 6, or chapter 8 rather, and verse number 16. Hallelujah. God's so good, isn't he? I'm so thankful for healing. I'm so thankful that we can live and walk in divine health. You know, just a word of wisdom to you that are working the Word and walking the Word in your life. We often get to the place that we have physical attacks against our body, and then we really start working the Word against it. And that's a good thing. But it's even better when before the physical attack comes, you work the Word as a defense against physical problems coming in your body. There are days, I don't do it every day, sometimes I will, but there are days when in prayer, I just go from head to toe. I thank you, Lord, I walk in divine health. I thank you that I have a strong, healthy mind. I'll never have dementia of any kind. I'll never have Alzheimer's. I have a strong, healthy mind. I have great memory. I thank you, Lord, that I have strong, healthy vision, and that I always will. Blindness will never be a part of my body. I thank you that my hearing is clear and strong. I have good hearing. I thank you, Lord, that, and I just go, I have a strong, healthy heart. Every vein, valve, and artery are clear and open, beating healthy blood at a healthy blood pressure as it sings and whistles its way through my body. I mean, I just go from head to toe and declare healing over every part of my body. I'll never have cancer. I'll never have infection living in my body. Those things can't live in me. I'll have no blockages, no stones in my body. And someone would say, man, I would never do that, because about the time you do that, devil's going to pull one over on you. And here's the problem with that statement. It shows that you have more faith in what the devil can do than you do in the Word and what God can do. And when you start, remember what God, what the devil said about Job? I haven't been able to get to him because you got a hedge about him. Well, Job's the one that built that hedge. Problem was, he made a hole in the hedge, didn't he? By his fear. So it's a good thing to work that healing Word of God before sickness ever comes to keep sickness from being able to come. Amen? We work the Word and the Word will work. Now, in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 16, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils or demons, and he cast out the spirits. How did he do that? With the Word. And he healed how many? He healed all that were sick. They brought many, and of the many that he brought, he healed them all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself, Jesus himself, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now notice that verse. There's something I want you to see about this. This verse is identified as a quote out of the Old Testament. Now, I challenge you to get in your word search and put this in there, in the word search, and try to find it in the Old Testament. You can't find it. It's not there. Oh, Pastor Callahan, are you telling me that Jesus quote, or the Bible quotes, the Holy Spirit gives us a verse out of the Old Testament that's not in the Old Testament? It is. But it's translated wrong in the Old Testament. And when you look for the words that are given here, you can't find it because in the Old Testament, it was translated wrong. So let's find what he's talking about. Go to Isaiah chapter 53, and here we've got the verse. You got it? Isaiah 53 and verse number 4. This is a prophetic verse, and that's what the Holy Spirit is telling us in Matthew 8, 17. That this verse is fulfilled in Jesus. Because God sent His Word, Jesus, and healed them. And this verse says, Isaiah 53, verse 4, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Now, that word griefs is never translated. The Hebrew word is never translated griefs in the Bible except here. The word is actually sicknesses. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That word sorrows is not translated sorrows. It's pain. The Bible in basic English says, "But it was our pain He took, and our diseases were put on Him." Young's translation, literal translation, "Surely our sicknesses He hath borne, and our pains He hath carried them." Now we found the verse that he's quoted, because we find the right translation of that verse. So back here under the Old Covenant, God has prophesied He'll send His Word. He will send Jesus, who will take our sicknesses, our infirmities, and that by the Word, the living Word of God, we shall be healed. Oh, I like it. Jesus is our healer, isn't He? Amen? Are you still with me? Go to Matthew chapter 8, back to Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 1. Matthew 8, 1. Hallelujah. You know, it's one of the sad things in Christianity is that most believe that all of the miracles and all the healing stopped with Jesus and the disciples. And as soon as they were all dead, it was gone. Well, that's not what the Word is telling us. He sent His Word to heal us. And that healing is to be an active part of the New Testament church. And we are the New Testament church, right? And so we should anticipate it today as much as they had it back here in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 1. "When He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean." Remember, we looked at that last night out of Mark chapter 1 about this leper. "And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion." Now look where Jesus is going, healing is following wherever he goes. Jesus did two major things all through the 3.5 years of his ministry. He taught and he healed. He taught and he healed. He taught and he healed. And I think that one of the things that was important, we had 3 days in this meeting, so it gave us some flexibility. And on Friday night, I said, if there's anybody here that needs a healing and you can't make it back tomorrow night, Saturday night, then you come up, I'll be glad to pray for you. But we're gonna build up toward this thing on Saturday. Pastor Philip has started I think he did it, one of them a year ago in 2009. Last year we did four of them, what we called faith rallies, and he did them there in Frankfurt. And he and I tag teamed Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night was miracle night. And all we did is preach faith. He'd preach an hour, I'd preach an hour. He'd preach an hour, I'd preach an hour. He'd preach an hour, I'd preach an hour. Then Friday night, we both preached an hour, and then miracles. And what we're doing all week long is building up that faith, because the faith is built by the teaching of the Word. He sent His Word. Not only the living Word, Jesus, but He sent His Word and healed them. And so we had the privilege of being able to do that Friday night, Saturday night, and then last night the Lord showed up in good way to bring healing, because the Word makes the difference, doesn't it? It's the Word that makes the difference. All right, in verse number 5, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, paralyzed and grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. This centurion got it. He got it so much that Jesus commended him. He said, I have not found this great faith, no, not in Israel. He called it great faith. What was there about this centurion that made Jesus say it was great faith? Number one, he understood authority. He said, I am a man under authority. In other words, when my superiors tell me to do something, I do it. And I have those under me. I tell them to go, they go. I tell them to come, and they come. Now, I never served in the military, but I understand that you get some stupid orders. If you are in the military, you know better than I do what I'm talking about. I understand that they might tell you to go out and dig a hole. And when you get the hole dug, they'll tell you to cover it up. And you didn't do anything with the hole except obey the order and dig the hole. And this man said, I understand how authority works. And if you will speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. Now, I'm the kind of person that if I see something come alive to me in the Word of God and I'm not doing it yet, I go after it. Here, it's been maybe a year or two ago, I started seeing in there where Jesus all the time would have somebody come and like the centurion. And he would say, go thy way, thy servant is whole, or whatever. And when they got home, they found out that that individual was healed at the very hour that Jesus said it. And I decided I want that. We have a lot of times where we'll be praying for people and someone will come up and they'll say, I want you to pray for my dad. I want you to pray for my brother, for my mom, whoever it is. And they're not even here. And so normally we will say, all right, well, let's pray for them. And Father, we just pray for this mother that you'll touch her. And I started to realize this man understood that authority was needed in this situation and that if he spoke the word. Amen. So I changed it. And now people will come to me and I'll say, well, what's his name? Okay. Father, in Jesus' name, I speak right now into your life, Joe. And I come against that cancer that's in your body. I curse it at the root and I command it in Jesus' name. There's no distance in the spirit. I was down in Matamoros with Pastor David Garza in the church that he pastors. There was a woman that came up in the prayer line and she said, I want you to pray for my dad. My dad has cancer in his throat. He can't speak anymore. And the doctors say there's nothing they can do for him. I said, okay. And so I did exactly that. What's your dad's name? And I don't remember what it was, Jose or whatever. And I said, it was Spanish. I spoke in him. I did the very thing I'm telling you. I cursed that cancer. And 2 weeks later, she and the whole family were in church, including her dad. And she stood up and testified, and she said That night, when Pastor prayed, something came all over me. And she said at the same time, something came all over my dad. The cancer is gone. He's been back to Houston to the cancer hospital. They've examined him. There is no cancer. He can speak freely, and he could from that night on. He's totally healed. And the whole family came to church. Now, we're seeing that over and over again because we're taking the word and the authority to speak that healing into people's bodies. And thank God I had started working on this before we went to Peru. Because in Peru, I prayed for hundreds of people that weren't there. They call in on radio. They'd call in on television, and I'd do the same thing. They'd call in and they'd say, like the guy that called in from the Amazon jungle, blind in one eye. I said, "What's your name?" He told me his name, and I spoke that name, and I said, "I command your eye to open in Jesus' name." There's no distance in the Spirit. And the authority of the word can go hundreds of miles, thousands of miles if it needs to, and go right into that individual's body. And in an instant, that eye opened. And we saw one after another healed. This is what Jesus did. How did he do it? He understood the authority of the word. The word is the power of God unto salvation. Not just unto being born again, unto all the blessings of our salvation. What does that mean? Healing, prosperity, deliverance, born again. The word of God is the power of God unto salvation. So it's this word that works. Amen? I love it. I love it. Oh, let me give you another one. Debbie has a niece that lives in Pennsylvania, Connecticut. I get it wrong every time. I say, I think I got it straight this time. It's Pennsylvania. And I do that every time. I do, and it's Connecticut. But her niece was having heart problems, and she was having pain in her heart. And I don't remember what all the problems were, but the doctors were very concerned, and she was very concerned. And so we had talked to her mom, Debbie's sister, and she called us for prayer, for me to pray for her. So I did the very same thing over the phone. I can't lay my hand on her, but I spoke into that heart. And I commanded the pain to leave. I commanded every symptom to leave her body in Jesus' name. Now, she had an appointment with the doctor, and she went back in, and the doctor examined her. And when he came out a few minutes later, he said, "I have to apologize to you. There's nothing wrong with your heart." Now, she had been having pain. They found something wrong. The first exam, they found something wrong. And now he says, "There's nothing wrong with your heart. The pain is gone. There's no pain now. She has no problem in her heart." The doctor's apologizing for scaring her because there's nothing wrong. But he said, "I do want you to come back. We're going to do a stress test." And so she came back, and he put the treadmill at a major incline. And he turned it up fast and had her run for 10 minutes. And when she got off, he said, "I can't do that." He said, "You have a perfect heart." Now the healing came because of the authority of the word. The authority of the word. The word will work through miles. The word will work when you're right next door. And the word will work when you're in the body that you need it to work in. It's the word. He sent his word to heal them. Now, let me add this to it. What we have to understand then is that the word came, and when the word became flesh, he healed them all. But when the word went back to heaven, he left his word, didn't he? And by his stripes, we were healed. We have the power of the word of God, which is the power of God unto all the blessings of our salvation. And the word of God, the power of that word, will work to bring healing. He sent his word and healed them. I love this. I don't know if Pastor Butch has shared this with you or not, but go with me to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. If you've ever been to Kentucky, I'm sure you've met Fentley and Elizabeth. Fentley is the bookkeeper of the church. Not only that, his life's work has been as not a brick mason, but a stone mason. And so he's worked with stones all of his life, laying stone. And this verse would have meant nothing to me except that Fentley explained it. And this is what it says. Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Now, I've seen movies or programs where they got somebody working out on the rock pile. You know, and usually they got their shirt off and they're all sweaty, and you can see these big old muscles, and they are taking that that sledge or that pick and bringing it down. Fentley said, the way you break a rock is not by your strength. He said, the way that you take a rock is you take the sledge, a hammer. And I don't remember what he said, like a 10-pound hammer, a 12-pound hammer, something like that. And he said, you choose the spot on the rock where you want the rock to break. And then he said, you lift up that rock and you just drop it. It's not the strength of the man, it's the power of the hammer. And you pick up that rock and you drop it. And it's the rhythm of it. You keep dropping it in that same spot over and over again. And he said, pretty soon, he said, the vibrations start going through that rock to the place that the rock will start to sing. In other words, you can hear the humming out of the vibrations that are coming in that rock. And then he said, all of a sudden, you lay that hammer down and you hear a clink. And at the next hit, the rock falls open. It isn't the power of the man. It's the power in the hammer and the rhythm of that hammer. And the Bible says that the Word of God is like a rock that breaks, like the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Now, this is awesome if we begin to understand this. Because we will say, well, I've been working the Word. How much you've been working the Word? Let's suppose that Fentley is building a wall. And so he's got this big rock, and he needs to break that rock in pieces. So he comes out in the morning, and he takes his hammer, and boom, boom. And tomorrow morning, he comes out again, and he takes his hammer, boom, boom. Is he going to break that rock? Uh-uh. Because it is the consistency of the power of the Word that'll break that rock. Let's see, it was a couple of years ago now, probably. I was out mowing, and I mow 5 acres. I got a zero turn radius, so I can mow them pretty quick. But I like to listen to Word while I'm mowing. And so I had earbuds in. And I'm mowing along for a couple hours, 2.5 hours, mowing the yard with those earbuds in. The next day, I have the Bluetooth in, and for my telephone. I have that in all day, and somehow I got an ear infection, and the canal swelled all the way shut. Now, I've got a week before I'm headed to South Africa, and to go to South Africa, we fly to Atlanta, which is a couple of hours. And from Atlanta, we're on the plane 19 hours to South Africa. And one thing you do not want to do is fly with congestion. Because one of our pastors, Pastor Garza, was flying with congestion, and his eardrum actually burst. Blood started coming out of his ear. And if it doesn't burst, it at least hurt pretty good. And so I knew I had to get that out of there before the week was up. So a week long, basically what I did is I'd go out and hit the rock, you know, a half dozen times. And pretty soon I'd go hit the rock another half dozen times. I had 3 days left, and the ear canal is still swelled shut. And I still got infection in my ear. Now, I'm not going to fly with this. And so I realized I got to get down to business. Now, listen, sometimes we get the idea, well, I've been confessing it. How much do I have to confess it? And it's kind of like we think God's up there, and he's got his iPad out, and got an angel over there keeping track. How many times did he? 3 more, okay? He's got about 57 more to go, and we'll give him what he needs. That's not what's working. What's working is the Word is working within us. building our faith, our expectancy, until we keep using the Word of God, using the Word of God, till all of a sudden it starts singing. You know what happens when it starts singing? That's when you know you got it. What do you mean it starts singing? You know you got it. I don't remember what. Oh, I do remember. Debbie and I'd gotten a thing I needed to pray through on, and Debbie and I spent 3 days. We locked ourselves in the house, and we fasted and prayed for 3 days. And we're down getting ready, and we're just saying word all the time, beating that hammer, And we're down getting ready. We're in front of the mirror, and, you know, shave, shower, and shampoo type of thing. And I'm standing there, and all of a sudden I start going, ooh. And she looked over at me and looked like, have you lost your mind? She said, what are you doing? I said, the rock is singing. I've got it. I've got it. And then, you know, we kind of laughed about it, and she, I don't remember what her comment was, but it was a good one. And you know, it wasn't long till manifestation came, because I knew I had it. Well, with this ear thing, I decided I'm going to confess no less than 100 times a day what the Word of God says. And there's a scripture, it's one of my favorite scriptures in the Word of God, Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 and 5. It says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. And I took that one part of that word, the Lord God hath opened mine ear. And I would say that over and over and over. I'd be walking along and I'd say, the Lord God hath opened mine ear. I thank you. The Lord God hath opened mine ear. The Lord God hath opened mine ear. The Lord God hath opened mine ear. Thank you, Lord, that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. The Lord God hath opened mine ear. 3 days later, when I got on that airplane, there was no infection in my ear. The swelling had gone, and the total manifestation of healing was there. Why? Because the Word of God is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Amen? Norval Hayes, we love Norval. He's just such a treat to be around and to listen to him tell his stories and preach. His daughter, a number of years ago, as a teenager, had growths all over her body. I was asking Debbie if she could remember, and we think that it was about 39 growths. It was a bunch, and there were ugly growths. Well, she didn't have quite that many. She had 20-some and went to the doctor, and he removed them all, and they all came back plus more. And so he kept believing God, and she finally came to him and said, Daddy, please, can I go to the doctor and have these things? They were on her hands, on her legs, and they were ugly. She said, please, can I go to the doctor and have these things removed? I hate going to school looking like this. He said, no, God's going to take them off this time. And we're going to stand for this and believe God for it. He said, I got a call, and my next door neighbor said, Norval, you've got company at your house, and they're waiting for you to get home. He said, oh, really? Who is it? It's Kenneth Hagin. And he said, oh, okay. Well, he said, I'll be right home. So he gets home, and Kenneth Hagin comes on the house, and he said, I've come. I'm going to stay for a couple of days. And so his daughter came in, and Brother Hagin said, how are you doing, honey? And she said, not good, Brother Hagin. He said, what's the matter? She said, I got all these ugly growths all over my body, and Daddy won't take me to the doctor. He said, well, I could get rid of those for you in no time at all. And Brother Norval said, I thought, well, whoop-de-doo to you, you know, like this big spiritual man. And they got up the next morning, but he said, I set myself, I was going to ask him, what would you do different than I'm doing? Well, the next morning they get up, and Brother Hagin said, Norval, I have to leave. I got a call. I've got to go. And so he left immediately, did get a chance. So he really started after God. Norval did. And he started, Lord, what do I need to do? What am I not doing? What am I missing? And he said, the Lord, he was sitting in his living room, and he said, I believe I actually left my body and went to heaven. And he said, I was there before the Lord, and the Lord asked me, how long are you going to allow that on your daughter's body? And he said, I said to the Lord, Lord, it's on her body, it's not mine. What do you mean, how long am I going to allow it? And the Lord said to him, it's in your home. And he said, well, what do I do? And the Lord said, you curse the root of that thing, and then you believe that it's dead and it's gone. And the next thing he knows, he's back in the living room, back in his body. Well, his daughter is in the next room with her boyfriend. And he goes on. When he tells a story, he can tell a two-second story in 5 hours. I mean, he just goes on and on. But he said, I decided, I'm going in there right now. And he said, something said to me, don't do that now. You go busting in the room and you start praying over your daughter and cursing the life and those growths, you're going to embarrass her in front of her boyfriend. Don't do that now. And he thought, I can't wait. I've got that word from God. I've got it. No, no, no. Don't do that now. Well, he realized that was the enemy. The enemy didn't want him to do it at all. And so when he realized that, he went busting in the room and he said, Zona, I've come in here to pray for you. And it just shocked him, you know. And he comes over and he lays hands on her and he said, I curse the life in those growths. I command them to die at the root and get out of your body. Now get out of her body in Jesus' name. And then he just left the room. But for days after that, all through the day, he just began to say, Lord, I thank you because you've removed those growths from Zona's body. Thank you, the growths are gone, they're gone. And he even made up a song about it. And he started to sing. The rock started to sing. And he started just praising the Lord. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, the growths are gone. Thank you, the growths are gone. And Zona came in and said, Dad, have you lost your mind? Have you gone totally crazy? What are you doing? Can't you see I still have these growths all over my body? He said, they're healed, Zona. They're healed. And he just kept singing and praising. And he did this day after day throughout the day. And one morning she came in and she said, or evening she came in and she said, Dad, I count these growths every day. I have 39 of them. And I don't understand it. But she said, today there's only 31. I don't understand it. He said, Zona, it's because they're healed and gone, all of them. And I think it was about 2 days later, she came home from school in the evening, went down to her bedroom, and all of a sudden, he heard this blood-curdling scream. And he went down the hall into her bedroom, and she said, Daddy, where did they go? They're all gone. The growths are all gone. Where did they go? Every one of them had disappeared. Why? Because he took the hammer, that word of God, and he worked that hammer against it again and again and again. Now, everybody likes it when the gifts of healing are in operation, because the instant healing comes. God has never given me a healing like that. I've never had one that way. I love it when God does that. And I wouldn't mind one every once in a while in some of the battles I've fought. But you know what? The Lord has taught me how to win the battle by the word of God. And working that word. Amen? A couple of years ago, I had congestion. And just wouldn't leave, you know? And I'd go out and hit the rock a half dozen times a day or more. And finally, I thought, I have never received a healing by having somebody else operating in the gifts bring that healing to me. I'm going to call Doc Harfouch. So I got on the phone and I called Dr. Harfouch and said, you know, we chatted for a while and I said, Doc, I've got this congestion in my lungs I've had for several days, several weeks, and I want it out of there. And I just thought I'd call and ask you to pray for me. And now, I know him and he cared, but it seemed like he didn't. It seemed like, okay, well, so what, you know, big deal. He didn't say that, but that's what it felt like. And the next thing I know, we'd hung up. And I think he might have prayed. I'm not even sure he prayed. But I realized this. God wants me to walk by faith and receive what I believe. And I thought, if I'm going to get rid of this thing, I'm going to have to pick it up on it. I'm not going to be able to just half-heartedly go out once in a while. I didn't understand that about the hammer on the rock. But I can't go out once in a while and just a half dozen times hit this. I'm going to have to start working this word and working it and working it and working it. And I did. And within a few days, it was gone. The key is in the power of the word. Amen? Go with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. The word of God is the power of God unto salvation. Amen? Mark chapter 5, the story of the woman with the issue of blood. Love the story. I love to preach on this. And go down to verse number 28, Mark 5, 28. You know, she pressed in the crowd, touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, in the Greek, that's in the imperfect tense, the verb is, which means it's a continuous action. She didn't say one time, if I can touch but his clothes. She said it over and over again. If you have the Amplified translation, the Amplified makes it very, very clear. She kept saying. This Montgomery translation, it says, translates this way, if I can even touch his clothes, she kept saying to herself, I shall get well. So over and over again, once she heard about Jesus, she thought, now why did she have to touch his clothes? If you study this word of God, you know that a woman with an issue of blood, what's an issue of blood? That's the time of a couple of days out of every month that a woman hemorrhages. It's a natural thing, but it's not natural for it not to stop. Hers hadn't stopped for 12 years. She was sick, anemic. She was weak in her body. She couldn't get any help. She went to the doctor, spent all she had, was nothing bettered, suffered many things. And here's the other thing. Interestingly enough, in the Word of God, the woman who's, we're adults, right? The woman going through her period was unclean. And after the period was over, she had to go and be cleansed. So when you have this going on for 12 years, you live like a leper, unclean. How do you go to a rabbi, an Israelite teacher, who knows the law and say, look, I have an issue of blood and I've had it for 12 years. Will you touch me? Because she heard his touch would heal. She can't go ask him to touch her. Her touch is polluting. Anybody that touches the person with an issue of blood or a leper becomes unclean themselves. She hadn't touched her children. She hadn't touched her grandchildren. She hadn't touched her husband. She couldn't sit on the bed at home. We don't know if she was even able to go home because her touch was polluting. She cannot go to a teacher of Israel and say, will you touch me? But she said, if I can touch him, he doesn't even have to know about it. I'll touch the hem of his garment. And if I can touch but the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. I got to find this man because if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. If I can just find him, and she kept saying it and saying it. And we know what happens when she got there and she touched the hem of his garment. She was made whole. She was made whole. Now, I got to tell you, I got to brag on some of you a little bit. I liked it yesterday during the day when I heard several people say to me, I'm getting my healing tonight. I'm getting my healing tonight. They were doing the same thing, that woman with the issue of blood. They were saying it and believing it, saying it and believing it. And that's a whole lot better than just all of a sudden saying, well, I'm going to go up and see. I'll go try it. Uh-uh. When you got that kind of an attitude, it's tough to get your healing through to you. But when you get that word working like the hammer, oh, I love it. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Are you good? Are you okay? A few more minutes and I'm done, but they're valuable minutes. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick. What's that word quick mean? It's alive. And it's powerful. Dunamis. The word of God is miracle working power and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I like that. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, in Revelation, it talks about the word being a two-edged sword, and the literal translation of that Greek is a two-mouthed sword. I see it kind of like this. One side is sharp because it came out of the word of God. When you start saying it, the other side is sharp. And it's too sharp. It's two-edged sword. Now, the point on a two-edged sword is sharper than a point on a one-edged sword, right? Because it doesn't have that flat side. And this two-edged sword will go right in between the soul and spirit. I'm not going to go into that, but between the joints and the marrow. I see that as going right into the inside of you, to the very inside. Do you love the commercials on pharmaceuticals? I just think they're hysterical. You know, you take one medicine and you got to take another one to offset the bad that medicine does. You're heavily depressed. You need this medicine. And you see people that are taking that medicine and they're happy and everything is going well and they're just doing great because they've taken this medicine. And then they have to close the commercial by telling you it could cause internal bleeding. In some cases, it causes suicidal tendencies. And you know, it gives you this whole long list of things that it'll do wrong to you, but you won't be depressed anymore. I guess if you kill yourself, you're not going to be depressed. And isn't it interesting? Because I think just about every medicine there is has the side effect. But the word. See, when you take medicine, it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. They find that this medicine helps this certain thing, but it doesn't know what it's supposed to do. The medicine doesn't go into the body and say, hey, we got to help the liver. Let's go to the liver. The medicine goes into the body, and if it helps the liver, fine. If it hurts something else, it doesn't know. But the word can go directly to the area that you need and not affect anything else. There's not a scripture anywhere in here that says he sent his word to heal you. To some, it may cause burning and burning sensations, you know, and it may, it does, there's none of that because the word will go directly where it needs to go and only do what it's sent to do. Amen. Well, let's go to, I love this. I love it so much I can't hardly read it. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. We'll wrap it up here. I'll make this be the last one. I promise you. Isaiah 55. I don't know if you've ever heard Dr. Harfouche, but he'll be preaching, teaching along, and he'll say, "Do you want me to stop?" And but, no. I've always been afraid to ask. You know, somebody might say, "Yeah, amen." Like we're taking a vote. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. God's saying this. It shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I just love that verse, especially with what I'm talking about. God said his word will not return unto him void. I don't know if any of you ever had this kind of teaching or not, but back when I was growing up, that was what they would encourage us to pass out tracts with, because his word will not return to him void. So you go around and you take tracts and you leave them on the back of toilets and you leave them on the sink in the bathroom and you hand them out to people down the street because his word will not return unto him void. Have you ever gone into a bathroom where somebody had left tracts? And they're laying all over the floor and people have walked on them and flushed them and everything else. That's not what it's talking about. He sent his word to us. It's like it says, where it says, he satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. He gave us word that we could use that word to prosper in the thing that the word is sent to do. Well, what's healing word sent to do? Bring healing. What's salvation word sent to do? Bring us salvation. What's prosperity word sent to do? Bring us prosperity. What is marriage word sent to do? Help us build our marriage. It'll prosper in the thing whereto he sent it. Because that word of God is sent to us to accomplish what's in it. The parable of the sower. The seed is the word of God. Seed is the word of God. Now, I don't know how you do it in a climate like Florida. I know how you do it in Kentucky. About early May, people will be going out tilling up their soil, and then they'll make a furrow down here, and they'll go along and they'll put radish seed in that furrow, and then they'll cover it up. And what a lot of people do, at the end of that row, they'll put a stake, and then they'll take the little package with the radishes on it and put it right over that stake, so you know those are radishes. What are you going to get? You're going to get radishes. If you say, well, the radishes were cheaper than the sweet corn, but I'm going to plant them and get sweet corn, you're pretty stupid, because you're going to get whatever you sow, right? The seed you sow is what you're going to harvest. And then you go next to that and you put in sweet corn and you put in lettuce or whatever it is, and what you sow is what you're going to get. The Bible says the word is seed. And that word will produce whatever is in the word. Powerful. Powerful for healing. That's why last night I preached on healing. Verse after verse, because we're going to pray for the sick. Let's get some seed out there. Let's get seed into the soil. Let's get seed into our heart. Let's get that word to produce after its kind. Amen? When you need a healing, you get a hold of healing scriptures and you work that word like a hammer. You need prosperity. You need a financial breakthrough. Get a hold of prosperity scripture. Obey it. You get the prosperity scriptures, you're not going to get financial breakthrough if you don't tithe and if you don't sow. That's how it works. But it'll accomplish what it's sent to do. You start saying what the word says. You don't have to come to God and say, God, I'm a tither and a sower. Where is my increase? That's a faithless statement if I ever heard it. You say, Lord, I thank you. I've got plenty of seed in the soil and it brings forth harvest. And I'm looking for my harvest. Thank you that harvest comes. I thank you. I'm a giver. And you said, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. I thank you, Lord, increase comes into my life. I thank you that increase comes into my life. I thank you that, you work the word. And here's the key. If you'll work the word will work. Amen. Every time. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Oh, hallelujah.